Yo, what's going on, ladies and gentlemen? It is I, the microphone messiah. I have returned from Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love, and one of the most tragic moments I've ever witnessed in the history of this business. I am joined by Brandon Tanguma. Brandon, what's up?
Hello, everybody. Hello, Philip. Ready to talk about WrestleMania 40.
Yes, WrestleMania XL. Oh, let's talk about it. Let's start it off. Let's go.
Oh, okay. Do you want to, do the whole start from the beginning, or should we go with the two big main events that correlate with each other, Philip? Because, that's what this whole show is going to be remembered by.
Oh God. Let's start from the beginning of WrestleMania.
Well, beginning night one, Saturday. We started off with Triple H. This is the after Cody finishing the story and ended up being about, the end of the Bloodline era and whatever the hell else. I think the other takeaway from this that they really wanted to hammer home is this is the Triple H, the Paul Levesque era. Triple H came out, did the whole thing of welcome to WrestleMania, and off we went. So, Philip, you were in the attendance for night two. Watching at a don't know the exact location, but you were watching on a television for night one. So how was the well, overall, how would you say the experience was from night one to night two, obviously?
I mean, obviously, night two, I was there. Night one, dude, night one, I was like, Juice and I were running on fumes, so I had to kind of watch a lot of it back. But I can say the coolest thing about night one, I watched the main event of night one with Nick Gage and Tommy Dreamer at GCW. That was cool.
And my lazy ass was just at home drinking beers and a little inebriated. But anyways, first match of the card was the Women's World Championship. Seth Rollins, yikes. Rhea Ripley defending her championship against Becky Lynch. Both women get special entrances. Rhea gets Motionless in White to perform her song. And then Becky, the overarching theme of the her whole entrance was her book. She had an AR version of the book. She was doing voiceover work for it. She had some pieces, or well, real pieces, but pages of her book on her outfit. So really pressing that home, and Rhea retains in 17 minutes 5 seconds. I thought the going into it, I think people were wondering what the reaction would be to both women. It wasn't combative. They liked both of them. Obviously, they liked Rhea more. They put over the fact that Becky was dealing with strep throat and had a fever of 102. Going into this. So, if you kind of look into it, Becky seemed a little bit out of it. Maybe that was character work. Maybe that was just physically not feeling great. But this match was good. Maybe didn't live up to the hype of some, past Rhea Ripley or Becky Lynch WrestleMania matches, but it was a good start to WrestleMania, not like a frenetic start.
No, it was yeah, that match I did see it when it happened in its entirety. Thought it was good. The bro, the electric chair flip over the outside and then the bump. I was like, whoa, okay. These ladies are going for it. And then the riptide on the buckle and then picked her up and hit it again. Defiant win for Rhea Ripley. You love to see it, man.
Yeah, I mean, the story was, Rhea's the new thing, or at least the current thing, and Becky's the past. Didn't see Becky on Raw. Maybe that was just because she lost. Maybe she was still dealing with some issues. But I would assume we're gonna get a different Becky Lynch. Now, I don't know if that means a heel turn, but I do think this current run she's on hasn't been that great for her. Maybe she's still dealing with the after effects of the heel turn from her return. But I think it's time to switch up the Becky Lynch character. Now, I don't know what that is. Like, I don't know how much you can go off of her because she seems like she's like a regular person, and I don't need her to like go overly gimmicky with it. But I think you kind of hit the reset button with Becky whenever she does come back, if it's a long time or a couple weeks. Okay, I'm getting the go home cue. So let's move on to the tag team match. We got the six pack ladder match for the Undisputed Championship. As we said, they put over the fact that it was you had to retain both of them, and once you saw the setup where they were like 6 feet apart, you knew there was going to be some sort of chicanery, and there was. We had A-Town Down Under, Judgment Day, Awesome Truth, DIY, New Day, New Catch Republic. I think it's everybody, and A-Town Down Under win the SmackDown titles first, then around 10 minutes later. Awesome Truth win the Raw Tag Team titles. There was a lot of big spots. There was some scary spots. There was a broken ladder that was trying to be used in the match. Luckily, they got that out of there because that was leading to the finish. And R-Truth hits an attitude adjustment on Damian Priest's, replicating his childhood hero John Cena for the win. So,
We talk about the pop for the hot tag.
oh
Fantastic.
yes, we for not second pay-per-view in a row, but R-Truth doing the hot tag in a non-tag team match like what he did at the Royal Rumble, and he got a huge pop. People love R-Truth. People, they love it. It was just kind of a match where there was a lot of stuff going on. A lot of memorable, and I don't want to say memorable spots, but New Catch Republic I thought looked really good, even though they didn't win. DIY coming out in the full legit DX cosplay was interesting. I don't know how much they're gonna lean into that after the fact, but it was another like
WrestleMania
good.
entrance. That's what it
It
was.
was another good, it was another solid match, but it didn't have a lot of heat to it. And I think ov the overall theme of the night was the weather. I know you were inside, Philip, but
Bruh.
it was very, apparently it was very cold, and depending where you're sitting, the wind was could kick your ass.
Oh God, I damn near caught pneumonia standing outside Wally Mania.
Yeah, oh, they got lucky because like midweek to late like Thursday, there was a lot of rain going on. Like there was some baseball games that got postponed or suspended, and luckily they didn't get any, wetness during WrestleMania. But it was cold, especially night one. Now night two, the
Oh no,
crowd
it was
was,
cold. I had to.
I mean the crowd was much livelier for night two. Now I don't know if that's just they know what's happening, so they are getting up for it. I do think night spoiler. I think night two is a better show than night one, but. The weather definitely, I would say, affected the crowd overall. And this, another match like this early in the show, you'd think all the spots they hit, it'd be kind of a little more of a fever pitch. And that just didn't really happen outside of the R-Truth hot tag, as you said.
Yeah, I mean, like night two, like when I got to my seat and sat down, it was pretty warm in there. Like I was even sweating a little bit. I was like, oh, Jesus. But no, that changed very drastically. It got very cold.
Moving on, we got another tag team match. We got Rey Mysterio and Andrade, who filled in for Dragon Lee, who got mysteriously attacked on SmackDown the night before, taking on Santos Escobar and Dominic. This one goes 11 minutes. Everybody was on the outside, so there's a lot of different spots going on. Joaquin Wild did his little catapult springboard spot to the outside, which looked phenomenal. The finishing sequence, we had two big white luchadors help out Mysterio and Andrade, and ended up being Philadelphia Eagles Lane Johnson and Jason Kelce. So after this like kind of heated feud between, all these Mexican wrestlers and like the father-son dynamic still going on, we get some Philadelphia Eagles players that probably like 5% of the entire audience of WrestleMania knew. But gotta get celebrities on the card, I guess.
Yeah, night two was packed with celebrities. I saw Vanessa Hudgens was there. George Kittle, the boy, was there.
They did
T-Pain.
the run through, and it was very similar night one and night two, because I remember Vanessa Hudgens was there, obviously. Greg Kittle was there, and the Wale, and they 2 Chainz, I believe, was there night one. They didn't give him a graphic, pissing me off. That's okay.
It's okay. T-Pain got one. Let's keep it moving. Let's keep it moving.
Then we got the brotherly rivalry. Jimmy and Jey Uso going on one-on-one. I thought the video package for this was phenomenal. Going back to their San Francisco roots, they had my brother's keeper stuff going back and forth, and I thought this video package was great. And then the match started, and it was by far, I think, the biggest disappointment of the night, of the whole show in general. It just, I don't know, it just didn't click. I know the story going into it, it wasn't that hot of a feud. I think if you did this a little earlier, like after SummerSlam or sometimes later in the year, Royal Rumble, maybe the crowd would have been more into it. Once again, weather could have played a factor in it, but I don't know, just whatever happened, whatever the case may be, this match just fell very flat, and a big, big disappointment, I would say.
It was the weather. I've talked to some people from night one. It was the weather, bro.
Yeah, I mean, with them being twins, they're they do a lot of the same moves. There's a lot of the super kicks. There was the Uso splash. There was like kind of the fake out, Jimmy trying to make up with Jay, and no one bought it. And then Jimmy still turned on Jay, and it was only 11 minutes, so I don't know if you give him a little bit more time, they could maybe build something up. But I mean, for those 11 minutes, the crowd wasn't really giving them anything. So maybe if they went 15 to 18 minutes, it could have been even, you know, even more of a debacle. But I mean, for how much this match has been built up for the beginning of their careers, it just kind of fell flat. No, it was definitely not Owen, Brett. It was more of a Matt Hardy, Jeff Hardy situation, I would say.
But Matt and Jeff had weapons, so the crowd popped.
Yeah, well, maybe they should have had some weapons, but then, you know, then that kind of the other matches had some weapons, so you can't, you know, you can't do all that. But
Yeah.
any thoughts on the brotherly
The brother
disappointment?
Zeus. Yeah, man, I think, you know, just the crowd, you know, being dead because of the weather and everything. But yeah, I thought we could have gotten a little bit more out of it, but you know, it is what it is.
All right, we got another tag team match. What is this? Three out of the first five matches, or I guess three, four out of the seven matches were all tag team matches. Jade Cargill, Bianca Belair, and Naomi take on Damage Control, Dakota Kai, Asuka, and Kairi Sane. Both teams get special entrances, and the baby faces win. Very straightforward match. I know Mark Henry is not happy with Kairi Sane because she didn't get out of the ring before Jade Cargill and all the girls did their entrance. So I guess we're getting Goldberg and Mark Henry taking on the Kabuki Warriors somewhere down the line. I need that to happen.
What?
Yeah, if you haven't, go look, go search like Mark Henry, Kairi Sane. And Mark Henry was not very happy with Kairi Sane, but yeah, I mean, it was only 8 minutes, so it didn't last too long.
Okay, get in, get out, go home. That's all they needed to do.
Yeah, you know, Bianca and Naomi carry a little bit, you know, carry a majority of the match on their side, and then Jade gets kind of the hot tag and she comes in, does her spots and gets the win. You know, a lot of the talk was, oh, Jade needs more seasoning because AEW didn't train her right. And then she comes in and does pretty much what she was doing in AEW. So, I mean, once again, she wasn't shown trusted to do much in this match. So it's kind of hard to gauge if she's gotten better since joining WWE, but it's exactly what you thought it would be. Didn't overstay its welcome. Everyone kind of got their spots in, both the face and the heel side, and Jade's the one end up standing tall because this whole match was built around Jade and her quasi debut.
Absolutely.
WrestleMania debut.
Absolutely. Did what I needed to do.
Then we got the penultimate match, Sami Zayn and Gunther. Gunther, 666 days as Intercontinental Champion, comes to an end as Zayn dethrones him. I thought it was a very subtle and Sami Zayn like entrance, but I thought it was phenomenal him walking in the back with his family, then Chad Gable, then a little bit of a surprise of Kevin Owens standing there by the curtain, and they just go out there and have a very technical, hard-hitting match. Gunther spamming those power bombs, you know, hitting all his big moves. Maybe spent a little bit too much time taunting Sami's wife, but Zayn emulating his childhood hero El Generico, breaking out the corner turnbuckle brainbuster, and then a Helluva kick for the win.
Two.
Crowd was, yeah, two Helluva kicks, and the crowd was not dead for this one. They got up for the finish of this one. So they, if you earned a pop, the crowd would give it to you, and they got one here. And this was, you know, especially for the ending, it made a lot of sense for why Sammy won in this spot. This show desperately needed kind of like a big time high happy moment. And yes, you know, a lot of baby faces did go over in this show, but nothing kind of compared to Sammy winning the title.
Yeah, I mean, Sami Zayn, the Brainbuster Helluva Kick spot. El Generico did that to Walter, what, like 2012-ish. So it's kind of nice to see that come full circle. Look, man, Sami Zayn ended the longest reigning tag team title reign of all time last year at WrestleMania. Now the longest reigning IC title run of all time this year. He's definitely bigger from being involved with the Bloodline, man. That's what I've been talking about. Everybody's involved with that faction, and that story has become bigger. And Sammy's the ultimate proof. So congrats to him, man.
What's
Another
the
man.
longest reigning U.S. title reign? Maybe Logan Paul holds on to that next year when we get Sammy versus Logan.
No, I don't think so. That's you have to look back. That I'm sure, like, that's
The
somebody.
NWA ones were forever.
Yeah. Yeah. You have to look back at that.
Main event time, Bloodline, Cody Rhodes, Seth Rollins. As you guys know, Bloodline rules. If the Bloodline wins, Bloodline banned, the faces win. But that was not the case. Second longest WrestleMania match in history, only behind Shawn and Bret at 12. This one goes 44 minutes, 35 seconds, and the Bloodline wins, Rock pinning Cody. The visual, they ran it back for a second year in a row. Cody was back to the stage as the Bloodline celebrates. And they utilized that in the video package the next night. And this match was, I think, overly long, 44 minutes. It did not need to be that long. Shave off 15, 20 minutes. There was not a lot of the chicanery like in the second match. So I don't know why.
You needed that.
I don't know why they decided to go this long.
Because The Rock likes to take his time.
They definitely did. And also, like, you could tell that they maybe were, I mean, there was some moves involved, like the outside suplex, but all four of these men, Rock a little less so, having a match the next night. And so you don't want to do anything too risky to possibly, derail this 4-year story with Roman and even Seth to an extent, his match the next night. So you can kind of see that. And they went, overly long. Crowd was into like the spots, but I thought the match was just it was just too long. I mean, I think that's the key point. It was still like a spectacle. I mean, The Rock's entrance was for a final boss, which is his new thing, and he had the People's Champion title, which is he was gifted to from Muhammad Ali's widow, and it was it was fine. It was a good main event, but definitely not kind of like a WrestleMania main event like we've seen these I mean.
What do you mean? It was the final boss. It was the tribal chief. Stop. Stop. What a main event this was. Stop that. Did you see Roman? I mean, the look in his eyes, when he's going for that hot tag, hair is a mess, bloody nose. Oh, God. Oh, God. They did it. And then Rock dissembled the it's over, Mother Rhodes. Throw that one up in the air. Hit that people's elbow. Yeah.
From the Department of Corrections, Lex Luger has the longest U.S. title reign at 523 days.
Oh yeah, Logan Paul can hit that. That's easy.
So,
yeah, but yeah, that was night one. Let's go to night two.
Night two, we had Stephanie McMahon do the whole Welcome to WrestleMania thing. A little bit of a surprise since she's been out of the company for a while. Yeah. Saw her at the Hall of Fame, but she's been gone for a while now at this point. And it was also, like I said, it was she put over the fact that she's been at or part of every WrestleMania. So she wasn't going to miss one. And she was like, oh, this is the most important one to me because it's the Triple H era. And like I said, they really hammered home, maybe a little bit too much, that, Vince is gone and now it's the Triple H era. So,
yeah, I could,
there you go.
Where I was sitting, I had a nice seat. Sorry, I'm still recovering from this Philadelphia weather. But yeah, I had a nice seat. I could see, like the ramp to go down. I had a nice shot of the ring, and I could see Gorilla. So I could kind of see who was coming out next and everything. And, they saw like the tunnel where they would walk up. And Stephanie, when she's getting taken to the back, she was greeting fans. She seems like a great guy. To steal a term from Peter Rosenberg, she seems like a great guy.
And, Stephanie, for all of her faults, maybe as a character, she does seem like a nice person. And I don't know what this means for WWE, whether she was just kind of there as Stephanie McMahon, or maybe she is going to come back as, more of a behind the scenes figure, whether on the corporate side or, in the locker room or whatever the case may be. But I don't think it's a surprise that Stephanie came out on this show. Like, it was kind of an FU to Vince, and we were like, he's done, and it's your time is up, my time is now, basically. First match of the show, we get Drew McIntyre and Seth Rollins, World Heavyweight Championship. Both guys get special entrances with Drew.
Great entrances.
Drew with the, the Scotsman, the bagpipes and all that stuff.
So here's the thing about the entrances. I was by the pyro, bro. When that fire came on, we were so happy. Like, oh God, warmth.
I mean, those fires get hot. I mean, even when I was at WrestleMania, The Undertaker did his thing, and I was kind of close to the stage, but definitely not as close as you were. You could still feel them. Like, those things get hot.
It was great. You needed that.
And then Seth gets the Muffords. I don't know what the exact term is, but they're a Philadelphia thing, and it's kind of like, if you know, you know. It's, I guess it's cool, but like, for people like me and maybe even for you, Philip, who are out here on the West Coast, don't know too much about Philadelphia history. It was like,
Oh, no, it was a spectacle.
like visually it looked cool, but I was
Yeah,
like,
no.
this is kind of a lot. I don't know what's going on. And even like on Punk on commentary, he was kind of the same way. He was like, oh, what the hell is this?
Got the pop before we went on the air with the punk music. Love that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was another point is, you know, it was Punk was special guest commentator, but we, I mean, he did his entrance in between the kickoff show and the actual WrestleMania main show. So, you know, he got his entrance. We saw his entrance, but it wasn't anything spectacular, which, I mean, it makes sense. I mean, especially what happened after the fact. But match itself goes 10:30, and Drew wins and gets a world championship in front of fans.
Yes. So I mean, when he hit that first claymore, I'm like, oh, are they just gonna end it here? But no, they kind of did a little bit more. Drew grabbing his wife's phone, tweeting he's bored at work. I thought that was funny. And then yeah, you know, he does beat Seth Rollins. I got a clip of Rollins walking to the back, just looking distraught. So I thought, you know, maybe what I thought was gonna happen, but that didn't happen. Yeah, then you know, Drew's, you know, mocking CM Punk, you know, over at the commentary desk. Punk pulls Drew's legs from under him, takes off his armband, just starts hitting him. Damian Priest music hits. What a pop! What a pop! Comes in there, south of heaven. One, two, three. Damian Priest is the world heavyweight champion. Massive pop, bro. Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
I thought the first match, the Drew Seth match, was really good. It was kind of the Brock Lesnar Goldberg special of just kind of spamming finishers, very fast pace. And, you know, Drew doing the tweeting was hilarious. And, you know, Punk on commentary, I would assume Philip hasn't kind of gone back and watched the TV broadcast of it. But Punk on commentary was like fine. He like said some things that was a little self-indulgent, but it was, maybe it was because it was a four-man booth and it's really hard to kind of get your stuff in, especially in such a fast-paced match like this one was. So Punk didn't have too much to say, I think, on commentary. Most of it was the aftermath, and Drew winning was cool. But then the, you know, setting up CM Punk and Drew, which is a big money match. You know, we all were wanting to see Seth and Punk, but now that's evolved into see we want to see Punk and Drew much more now. And
It's one of those things where Drew told Seth his obsession with the bloodline was going to cost him the title, and it did. But Drew's obsession with CM Punk cost him the title.
exactly. And, you know, Drew's current character is so great when he has something to bitch about. And now that he has something, you know, he can go after Punk, he can go after Priest and the title. And, you know, he finally had his moment, but yet it still wasn't that perfect moment that he envisioned it, you know, back in 2020. So he can still do whatever he has to do. Obviously, you know, we'll talk about the Raw after Mania on the regular show in a couple of days, but I don't know what this means for Punk, because Punk took his thing off. Even in the Errol Hawani interview, he very much put over the fact that he's feeling really good. So I don't know if that was the case to where he, I'm not saying he's going to wrestle next week, but he wasn't wearing the brace at the end of the WrestleMania. He wasn't wearing the brace on Raw the next night. So maybe he is almost, you know, maybe not, you know, 75, 90% ready to come back. And we can get, you know, something with Punk physically sooner than we thought.
That is a possibility. That is.
Then, technically, third match on the show, we get the Pride, Bobby Lashley, Angelo Dawkins, and Montez Ford taking on the Final Testament, Karrion Kross, Akam, and Rezar, and with B-Fab, Scarlett, and Paul Ellering over at ringside. This one only goes 8 minutes, 35 seconds. Bubba Ray Dudley was the special guest referee, and Snoop Dogg was the special guest commentator. Now, you know, I think Philip and I will have two completely different views on this match, because this match was a whole lot of chaos, and it was kind of, personally didn't care about the feud whatsoever. But Snoop Dogg was on commentary saying just the craziest things and was such a vibe. It made the match so much better.
I mean, I haven't heard any of the commentary. Yeah, it was just chaos, man. And then yeah, I think what a table broke before the spot, so they had to redo it. I was like, that sucks.
I mean, just think of like how Snoop like handled the Shane McMahon stuff last year at WrestleMania. I mean, it just seems like Snoop Dogg is just like the biggest fan, and he just is having a ball to be there. And he was, I mean, he's kind of like Pat McAfee, but maybe like a little bit more, charismatic, a little more infectious on just how he does goes about it. And I thought that, this match outseated, exceeded my expectations, mainly because of Snoop Dogg and his commentary. And it was just a dumb, fun street fight. And yeah, that was about it. Then we get the Slim Jim match of the night. We get LA Knight taking on AJ Styles.
Yeah.
Once again, a lot of Slim Jims just everywhere. There's a lot of,
It wasn't that much,
there
bro.
was a lot of corporate branding on this on the show in general, night one and night two. But I will say, I don't know, why they did it this way. I felt like it was a lot more discreet. Like it was all over the ring apron and the canvas and stuff like that. Obviously, the prime thing on the, on the canvas, but they didn't have like the giant Cinnamon Toast Crunch luchador mask. They didn't have, I forget whatever the movie was that like sponsored the Hell in a Cell match with Edge and Finn, and they had Russell Crowe, I think, like do an intro. Like it was kind of in your face, but it wasn't as over the top as it was last year. So if that's the case, I'm okay with that if they are gonna, go grab that bag. But
Yeah, like you honestly, like you couldn't really tell from in the house.
yeah, I mean, I mean, outside of like the big on the LED board around the ring, they had like some sponsorships on the turnbuckles or on the turnbuckle posts, and obviously the prime stuff was on the turn. I didn't know it was going to be on the turnbuckle pads, but yeah, it was what it was. And once again, LA Knight, AJ Styles, AJ debuts his new theme. You could hear it. It was kind of more, another kind of southern rap music, but. AJ kind of makes a quick entrance, so you couldn't really digest it and kind of hear exactly what it sounded like. Philip, in stadium, did you catch a vibe from it, and kind of how do
Yeah,
you like that compared to the other one?
you kind of like listen to it. You're like, okay, all right, this is cool. The pyro went off, so you got a little heat. That was great. But yeah. LA Knight comes out there. He gets that pop. Yeah, but yeah, they for how long was this match?
This one went 12:25, so thus far longest match on the show.
Yeah, I mean they went out there. They did good business, and LA Knight up. Yeah.
Yep, LA Knight won. I think this was a it was I mean it was kind of a showcase for LA Knight. He got the win on a big stage against AJ Styles, but AJ continues to be a fantastic wrestler even into his 40s. And LA Knight, who's also in his 40s, I thought, rose up to the occasion, didn't mess up, which I think is what they wanted. Just go out there, have AJ do what he's got to do, and just don't mess up, and the match will be fine. And that's exactly what it was. Then we get to the Triple Threat United States Championship match. Logan Paul defending against Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. Nice little callback with Sami being at the tunnel for Kevin Owens, just like he was the night before. And we got a callback with the golf cart or whatever that him and Orton drove down to the ring, which I thought was fun. And Logan Paul, the big old Prime truck was right in front of you, Philip, and I thought he was
Yeah.
going to squirt Prime on everybody, but no, it was just a fake cannon to shut off Pyro.
Yeah, no, it was right by us. We're like, okay, this is dope. KO, his Tron was a tribute to ECW. So I really liked that. It was in the ECW font and coloring. I thought that was dope. Yeah, when I saw that little golf cart or whatever, I thought Austin. I don't know why I did. I was like, but I remembered Austin likes ATVs. But yeah, no, I mean triple threat match. It was cool, man. They did the job. Orton kicking out of the brass knucks. Like, oh, okay. That got a pop in house.
17:40 is the official time. Really cool spot with Orton turning a power bomb into an RKO. Paul kind of beats up Randy to get him on the outside, and then he hits a big old frog splash from Kevin Owens or onto Kevin Owens, gets the win. Also, a Twitch streamer was in the prime bottle this time. It was iShow Speed, and Orton kind of had his moment with him, giving the big old like this is Sparta kick and then RKO on the table. I mean, I know a lot of people aren't going to know who Speed is. Like, I know of him. I don't really watch his stuff, but I was hoping for Sketch, but it did not happen. Logan Paul retains, as we said, possibly on his track to being the longest reigning U.S. champion ever, just to be dethroned by Sami Zayn at WrestleMania 41.
That's a possibility.
That is a possibility. Then we get the women's WWE Women's Championship match. Io Sky defending against Bayley. Bayley gets she gets another new theme. She has like a Egyptian style entrance with a lot of like four or six guys carrying her, not really that far, just kind of carrying her a couple yards. I'm assuming there's gonna be some NXT champion under there in like 5 years, But Bailey beats Iyo 14-20. Crowd, this was definitely where you're like, okay, this crowd is getting behind it, because I thought it was a very similar type match of Gunther and Sammy, of kind of the underdog trying to battle back and get the title. And the crowd was so hot for this. I love this match. I think this might be my favorite match on the card, on the whole show in its entirety. Bailey, you know, battling back, you kind of saw what she can do. I thought the rose plant reversal from Io, the little whatever front flip nip up from her, kind of catapulted the match into the finishing sequence. I thought this match was fantastic.
I'll agree with everything you said, man. It was good, man. It was fun. Shout out Bailey, man. Finally getting the that I mean that big win. I mean, she's won at Mania before and stuff, but I think this was like her biggest win to
First
date.
solo win at WrestleMania.
No, she won a well 33. She walked in and out as champion.
Everyone's saying it's like her first solo win. I don't know. That's what everyone's saying. She
Wait,
finally got
no,
her WrestleMania moment.
WrestleMania 33. She walked in and out as champion. So.
Check the tape.
Yeah, it was a. I remember it was a fatal four way. It was her, Charlotte, Nia Jax, and I think
Maybe
Sasha.
they meant to say like her first one-on-one
Okay,
WrestleMania
there we
match. That's
go.
what they were going for.
That's something. But yeah, I heard some fans had to get removed because they were saying women can't wrestle or something during this match. I was like, what? So yeah, but I mean, nonetheless, they did the damn thing, and it was the precursor for what happened next.
Well, main event time, the
Oh
match
God.
everybody was there to see.
Oh God.
For the second year in a row, Roman Reigns defending his undisputed WWE Universal Championship against Cody Rhodes.
Oh Jesus.
Once again, big entrances from both sides. Cody gets the has his Mad Max with the some you know his American Nightmare mask on. Brandi to a surprisingly big pop. I've seen people call it the Linda McMahon WrestleMania pop for how surprisingly big it was. Roman gets another orchestra to play him down to the ring. 33 minutes, 25 seconds. A lot of shenanigans. The Avengers assembled, just like we all thought was going to happen. And Cody Rhodes defeats Roman Reigns to finish the story and
Oh,
become champion. First time a Rhodes has been WWE champion.
no, ah, this hurt. This hurt. I mean, you can go on the Bullet Cast, IG and YouTube, and you can see the finish of it. I had somebody else record that because my soul left my body when the ref counted to three. Oh God. Oh man. It's the equivalent of being in the building when Taker's streak was over. That's the only thing you can compare this to. I mean, like you couldn't believe that it happened. Shock. Literal shock. And man, I mean the most overbooked main event of all time. Let's talk about that real quick. I mean, Jesus Christ.
I mean,
Jimmy.
surprisingly, they wrestled like a regular match for like the first 20, and then
Yeah, which was good. It helped it, you know, just like in case of need be, then you guys can come out there, which is what that was. I mean, when Jimmy comes out there, then Jay saves him. Jay spears Jimmy off of the stage. You're like, oh, I was right there. I was like, oh, sh then Solo comes out there, and then Cena's music hits, and you're like, oh my goodness. And then, you know, he takes care of him, and then the Rock's music hit, and then just, bro, the energy in that building. Rock and Cena staring each other down one last time. Oh, God, that was good. That was good.
I saw a
Rock.
little time lapse of like their, because they did the exact same stare down. You call it the Rock Hogan from 18, but Cena and Rock did it at 28, 29, and then they did it here at 40. And there's like a little time lapse of like,
Yeah.
all three of those kind of overlaid on each other, which that was pretty cool.
Yeah, and then he takes care of him and Matt, and then the Shield music hit. The Shield music.
Everybody for like a second threw away all logic and thought Jon Moxley, Dean Ambrose was going to come out.
Yes, people, I know, yeah. People were like, Mox, I'm like, nah. That Shield music hit, I was like, oh.
As someone in the building, could you tell us like where Seth was? Because so on TV
No.
they shot it to where you did not see Seth at all until he gets Superman punch from Roman. So you couldn't even like comprehend and like see that he was like even in the Shield stuff to begin with. It was like
No,
very
bro.
awkward. I don't know if that was a production botch or what, but that was kind of
We didn't know. We
weird.
did. We were looking like, where's he coming from? Where's he coming from? We didn't know where he was coming from. I didn't see him until he was in the ring and got Superman punched. And then, they're about to take it to Cody. Then, man, I know people wanted Austin. Apparently, it was supposed to be him. If that glass had shattered, that place would have went off. There would have the roof, the proverbial roof would have been blown off of that building if that glass had shattered that night. But it made more sense for it to be the Undertaker because he has history with Roman Reigns. When that gong hit, oh, the chills, man. It still gives you chills. It really does. The choke slam to The Rock, and then Roman having the chair, and then this is the art of storytelling we're in now. Roman, Seth knew that the Shield music and the gear would trigger Roman to what happened almost 10 years ago. So he chose to get his comeuppance. He chose to get that chair shot. And for Seth to fall the same way that Roman did, the creme de la creme, but his beef with Seth from 10 years ago is what cost him the undisputed title. Went for the spear. Cody throws a knee up. One crossroads, two crossroads, three, one, two, three. Cody Rhodes has finished his story, and he is the new undisputed WWE champion. Look, I let you guys know, I'm Bloodline, baby. I'm Bloodline all day, every day. I was kicking it with the fam this weekend, man. I love everything that Roman has done. But we've followed Cody's career since he left WWE and all to where he is right now. We've met Cody on multiple occasions. Congrats to him, bro. The boyhood dream has come true for the American Nightmare. You love to see it. When did the feed go off?
So basically, we saw all of that. So everything, I would assume what you're talking about, we saw all of it. Everyone in the ring, Bruce Prichard, Triple H comes out.
Okay, you
He
guys saw
goes
that.
out. He's like almost literally the last thing we see is Cody Rhodes shaking Nick Khan's hand, which I could have done without. And then Cody does like he, raises his title on the stage, and that's when it finally cuts. So all of the like 5, 10 minute celebration after the fact, we saw all of that.
Yeah, very WrestleMania 10 with him on the shoulders of the baby faces. I got Rock walking to the back. I got Cody walking to the back. But man, the clip that's going around, Roman Reigns walking to the back as all his adversaries are passing him and him hugging the wise man. Roman put up a video today. He said, "Yesterday I mourned, and today's day one. So it's not over. We're not done.
All
We are."
right. Triple H at the press conference was like, if you loved what Roman is doing, what he did with the Bloodline, there's going to be another storyline that blows your mind. Now, I don't know what that is,
Look,
but.
if that is true, because what he did here was like, I think people are gonna like. You heard the "Thank you, Roman" chants at the Wells Fargo. You heard them. And what, 7 years prior that or 7 years prior to the day after Mania, people booed him out of whatever building they were in New Orleans. And now that they're chanting "Thank you, Roman." If this, whatever's going to happen next, is can be even bigger than what he did with the Bloodline, he will be solidified as one of the greatest of all time, truly.
And we've been doing this podcast a long, long ass time. And for majority of it, I was a Roman Reigns hater. I was not a fan of Roman Reigns' babyface turn. But now we've come so far along to where I think it is time for Roman to turn face. And whether that's him facing off against Solo and probably The Rock, maybe even at next year's WrestleMania.
Oh no, I think he's just gonna come back more vicious than ever. Like I don't
And
think like
just because he's more vicious doesn't mean he can't be a babyface. I think
sure, but like
you don't mess with the Roman character. He is still the same thing, but just you give people the permission to boo him now or cheer him now.
I mean that's what they acknowledged me was that they were that's the cheer. But yeah, man, I think he's just gonna come back vicious, more vicious than ever, and the what's gonna happen with the Bloodline? What's gonna happen with Solo? What's Jimmy doing? I know rumors are going around. Don't believe everything you read on the internet. But yeah, it's a lot going on. It's a lot going on, right?
Yeah, everyone told me Jacob Fatu and Tama Tonga were going to show up in this match. That didn't happen. But
Yes.
this match was overbooked shenanigans, ridiculousness, but it's exactly what it should have been. I don't know how much rewatchability this match will have, 5, 10 years from now, but it's exactly what it needed to be, and it was fantastic for what it was. And Cody, you know, winning it, handing it to his mom. You know, there's a lot of people who got emotional during that part, myself included, not gonna lie. But I thought it was a great main event in kind of its own little universe type of way. It wasn't your traditional wrestling match, like what Cody, I think, can do as champion now. Like, I think he can go out there and have phenomenal straight up matches, but this was not it. And that's it could have been that, but I think this was the better option. Just make it the spectacle that it needed to be.
Yeah, I mean, 1,316 days gone. Oh, we're so close.
For the first time since January of 2020, no one in the Shield has a championship.
Oh, so close to breaking that Hogan record. Oh, God. WrestleMania 40, man. I think it will go down as the biggest WrestleMania of all time, truly. It was a spectacle, man. I'll get into kind of my WrestleMania like weekend activities on the regular episode coming out later this week. Brandon, what's your grade?
I'm kind of torn on the grade, just because I thought night one was a little bit of disappointment. Night two was, I thought, a really good show by itself, and then the ending was exactly what it should have been. So I'm give it like an A minus, you know, maybe even like a little bit of a weak regular A. It's like a 93%. I'm not gonna be sit here with like some people who are like, oh, it's the greatest WrestleMania of all time. I don't think it's that, but it was a very good, solid show and a new era. For whatever era you want to call it, the Cody Rhodes era, the Paul Levesque era, it definitely a new era is upon us.
That's a thing, you know. Triple H said we didn't call it the Attitude Era when we were in it. Kind of thought that was kind of it named after, you know. I know people aren't fans of, you know, naming eras while we're in them, but I've heard Renaissance era be thrown around. I think you can kind of say that's what this is. Wrestling's hotter than ever. I mean, bro, I was at the 2300 Arena. They were over capacity for that ECW tribute show, which I'll talk about that later, but man, just and all the other events I was at, wrestling is hotter than ever right now, man. It's fun. It's so much fun right now. Excuse me. And I love it. Absolutely love it. Yeah, but that's gonna do it for us, guys. Hopefully my voice can kind of get back to it. On Thursday. Thank you guys so much. As always, be safe and stay dangerous. Yeah.